So this morning I want to speak to you about renewing your first love. Renewing your first love. And when I want to go at it in a particular way this morning, I want to start by talking about gardening. Of all places to begin, gardening. But anyways, the work of gardening is hard work, if you've ever had a garden, and it's hard work. And of course, if you let it go, if you let your garden go, it will compromise the fruit, right? You constantly have to work at it and to keep the weeds out of it, because it's possible to have more weeds than actual fruit. So you got to be careful. And if you notice this little patch on the side out here, I can remember, it's all grown up now. You notice that? The trees are coming, whatever. But that used to be as clear as a lawn. And then it was let go, and sometimes they've come out and, you know, taken it down. And now, I don't know if you've noticed it, but the wilderness has taken over again in that. And A.W. Tozer calls that the hunger of the wilderness. Let me read to you something he says about that. He says, every farmer knows the hunger of the wilderness. That hunger which no modern farm machinery, no improved agricultural methods can ever quite destroy. No matter how well prepared the soil, how well kept the fences, how carefully painted the buildings, let the owner neglect for a while his prized and valued acres, and they will revert again to the wild and be swallowed up by the jungle or the wasteland. The bias of nature is toward the wilderness, never toward the fruitful field. That, we repeat, every farmer knows. Now, what is true of the field, Tozer goes on to say, he uses that analogy, as I'm using it this morning, to say that this is also true of our heart. This is also true of your heart. Now, Jesus, in the parable of the sower, in Mark's gospel, his rendition of it, speaks of these same things, where he speaks of the one seed that falls, remember, amongst the weeds in perhaps a garden that was let go. And he says, still other seed fell among the thorns. Hear the word, he says, hear this word. They hear the word. He says, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Inasmuch as anything left to itself, your garden left to itself, eventually will compromise the fruit, he says, these are the kinds of things in our hearts that will compromise our heart. It makes certain things unfruitful there. Now, there are those things in life. There are those things about life that have a way of crowding out our love for God. Let me read my text this morning from Revelation chapter 2, where a message is sent to the pastor, we'll say, of the church of Ephesus by Jesus. And he says this, to the angel or to the messenger, to the pastor of the church in Ephesus, write this. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know. This is Jesus speaking. I know. So the idea there, you say, what's that imagery, the seven stars, the seven lampstands? Well, those are the churches. That's all. He's just referring to churches. And he says, I am in the midst of you. I'm there. In being there, he says, I know. I know. He says, I know your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but they are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. All good stuff. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. This weeds are starting to come up and crowd out the good fruit. Your first love. You've forsaken it. He says, remember then the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You got this going for you. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which had false doctrine. He said, you hate that false doctrine, which I also hate. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And so there are those things about life, in life, that have a way of taking out of first place our love for God. Let's pray. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, and as I speak this message, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us and that we would hear what you're saying to us, even as in this text we're exhorted to do. If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, listen. And that we would take it to heart. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if we fail to tend to the garden of our first love, and so I'm looking at our first love like a garden. And if we fail to tend to it, just like any garden, weeds start to grow, and you have, you know, I've been in gardens before that I won't mention any names, but I remember my son, Bobby, who had this idea of having a garden because his neighbors all around him had gardens. And I can remember going to pick some fruit in his garden, and he was letting the garden go. And it was like I had to, you know, it's like, where are the cucumbers? I know they're in here somewhere. And you got to weed through, you know, where the cucumbers are. And what's true of that is also true of our hearts. It's true of the garden of our first loves. We run the risk of allowing our first love to be choked out if we don't tend to it. Now, at first glance, when you read this text of Scripture from Ephesians or from Revelation about the Ephesian church, when you read it, and you read those first, you know, several verses, first three verses, where the Lord speaks to them and he says, you know, I know these things about you, your perseverance and how vigilant you are to watch out for this kind of bad thing and that kind of bad thing. You think, wow, this is, you know, they're right on here. And then it's like an abrupt stop and he says, Yet I have this against you. And at first glance, you're surprised by this correction. You think, wow, all that good stuff going on. And somehow, their heart was no longer in their relationship. They apparently had a duty going on that they were fulfilling without any real devotion. Something was missing. And so I ask the question, is it possible to go through the motions of a relationship with Jesus? Is that possible? To go through the motions and somehow to have our hearts distanced from that relationship? Is that possible? I think that we're clearly shown here that it is, because apparently something went wrong here. Something was misfiring in their lives. And to have all of those good things going for them, yet Jesus says, but this here is pretty serious. I have this against you. And it's so serious that Jesus says, if you don't stop and get this right, there's going to be serious trouble between us. That's what he says. I mean, this is serious stuff going on here. And so it's possible to go through the motions of relationship with Jesus And yet at the same time, listen, to give our hearts to other loves in place of wholehearted devotion to him. And this is apparently what was going on here. That they were going through the motions. He says, I see your hard work. I see your deeds. They're good. I see your perseverance. I see that you're careful about what you believe. You don't like, you know, those who are pushing bad doctrine and so on. You got, you know, you got what you believe right down pat. He says, it's possible to do all those things and yet not have your heart in it. And I don't like it, he says. That's startling to me. That's startling. And so I ask the question, you know, I ask the question from this text. What is it that keeps that from happening in my life? Now, even as Tozer brought up the hunger of the wilderness, we have to see that the bias of nature, the bias of your nature, the bias of my nature is anything left unattended for very long goes back to the wilderness. If I don't keep my heart, if I don't tend to the garden of my heart, bad stuff is going to happen to it. It's just automatically going to happen. And so I ask myself, how is it that I work against that? What is it that's going to keep my love for Jesus vibrant? How am I to respond to this word which is spoken to me? Because this message to the Ephesian church is one of seven messages that is spoken to the churches. There's seven churches listed here. And they form kind of a corpus, a unit of a message that can always be spoken at any time to any church. That we have to take heed. And all of the messages spoken to these seven churches, except for two, Sardis and Philadelphia, I think, are messages that carry some pretty strong words. Pretty strong words. Now, I don't like to think of Jesus like that. That Jesus would say something like, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand from its place. It's like, wow, Jesus, you know, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff you're saying there. You know, and it's like, you don't love me. You know, your kids ever say that to you when you discipline them? You know, you don't love me anymore. You know,
no, I don't love you.
Or exactly. You know, I mean, it's just, or I don't love you exactly. And if you turn over to the next page, at least in my Bible, but to chapter 3 and verse 19, where again Jesus is saying some pretty strong words about the same sort of thing, about being lukewarm in our love for him. And he says these words. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. You know. And don't we feel that way about our children as well? That what motivates or what ought to motivate our discipline of our kids is what? Well, we love them. You know, we want to challenge and correct their bad behavior, because we don't want them to form characters that are bad, right? And so we correct them, and we're doing that, we can only hope, out of love. How much more God? How much more God? And he even says here, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And so that's what's going on here, you know? And so I ask the question, what is it? You know, what is it that's going to keep my first love in place? I want to just zero in on a couple things, okay? Help me. Look at what he says. The first he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. So remember. And I look at it this way, remember. Wake up to the distance between you and your heartfelt relationship with Jesus. Wake up to it. In other words, if take a look at it, and if you sense that there's a distance there, be honest about it. There's a distance there. It's not what it ought to be. It's not what it should be. You know? Maybe there was a time when it was better than it is right now. Well, remember that. Remember that. Remember the way it used to be. He says, call that into mind. But he says, call that into mind in such a way where you feel the distance that's there. You know? Have you ever been in a relationship with someone, and either because of maybe you haven't seen each other in a while, or stuff happens in that relationship, you know the kind of stuff that happens, and you say, there's a what between us? There's a distance now between us, and it's palatable. You sense it, you feel it, that, oh, it's not what it used to be. Well, if you feel that, see, call that to mind. Consider the situation of your heart along those lines. And if you feel that, be honest about it. There's a distance there. You know? Be honest. That's the first thing he says that puts us on track to renewing our love, our first love. The second one, the second thing is this. He says it in the text. He says, repent. Repent. Repent and do the things you did at first. Repent. Now, I look at that like this. Stay away from those things. See, to repent. Stay away from those things that take your heart out of following Jesus. Stay away from those things that take your heart out of following Jesus. We all know what repent means, right? You're going in this direction. You make a 180 turn. That's literally what the word means, to repent. Repent means I'm going this way. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to go this way. I'm making a 180-degree turn. And so I stay away from those things that turn my heart away from following Jesus. Now, here's the thing about this text. You notice that it doesn't say they lost their first love. Oftentimes, this verse of Scripture is misquoted, right? Where you'll hear it said, you know, because you have lost your first love. It doesn't say that. It says that they left their first love. It says that they have forsaken their first love, which means that they're culpable, which means that they are doing those things that have taken them away from following Jesus. And so when he says repent, it simply means stay away from those things. They're going to take your heart out of following Jesus. And I would say that 9 times out of 10, the loss of excitement, notice, the loss of excitement that we might feel in our relationship with Jesus, in our following Jesus, and all of those things that go into following Jesus that we put into it, is a direct result because we have let something go in our relationship with Jesus. That's the negative side of repent. The positive side of repent is this. Put your heart back into it. Just put your heart back into it. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I give you my heart today. You know, I'm putting my heart back into how it is that I'm following you, Jesus. You know? Repent. And then the last thing is, look what he says. He says to repent and do the things you did at first. And do. Do. We have something to do. And I look at those that from this text is simply is this, and you've probably heard this kind of thing before. Keep first things first. Keep first things first. And you know, it's like there are no magic formulas. You know, no magic formulas into how it is that, you know, I have this sense of excitement about me, the sense of excitement in my life for following Jesus. But boy, there are some things that we can do to keep first things first that will work magic in our hearts. Keep first things first. It's as simple as that. How often do I harp on us for what? For what? Do devotions daily. Do devotions daily. And, you know, keep first things first. And the same with so many things that, you know, we have a tendency to look at, and we begin to grow cold with those things. And once again, there are things in life, there are things about life that cause us to grow cold. Listen to these things again that choke out the good seed that's planted. Listen, he says, the worries of this life. Now, I can off the top of my head right now rattle off to you 10 things in my life that I'm worried about. And I bet you could do the same. Who doesn't have worries of this life? If you have kids, you have worries in your life. Come on, right? There are worries. And look at what he says. He says that's one of the things that does what? That crowds out fruitfulness, your first love. Worries. The next one, he says, the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, money. And, you know, it's like, how much of our lives revolves around that? You know, what to buy, what not to buy, wish I had enough money to buy what I want to buy. All of those things. In the deceitfulness of wealth, is, as we say so often, money can't buy you. It just can't. Whatever you put in there. But it's a normal part of our lives, is it not? Earning a living, money, it's normal stuff. And then he says, and the desires for other things. I can make a pretty good darn long list right now of the desire of other things that I have. Phew, tell you. A long list. You know, I have a desire for other things. And some normal. You know, I need. My wife would argue the difference between need and want, but I would give her a good argument for need. And my point is this. These things right here, you know, they're not some gross, awful sins that choke it out. But these are the subtle things that are a part of everyday, your everyday life and living. And if we're not careful, those things in and of themselves become the very things that ruin our first love for Jesus. Keep first things first. Keep first things first. Lord, what has to be first in my life? You know, what needs to be first in my life, Jesus? How do I go about keeping my priorities right, keeping my priorities straight? And guaranteed, again, money back guarantee, you keep your priorities straight, keeping first things first, and your love for Jesus will stay vibrant. Now, let me end with this. Yes, I said it. Let me end with this. No. I have changed my ways. Let me end with this. Yep, changed my ways. Remember, there are lots of times when I don't have the feelings of passion for God. That may even cause me, that is to say, that loss of feeling, that loss of passion, that may even cause me to doubt my first love devotion. And all it means is that emotions come and go. It's not necessarily, that I don't feel it does not necessarily mean I don't have it. You understand what I'm trying to say? That emotions come and go. The strength of my love is found in that I stay committed even though I don't feel like it. So we have to be careful here, because we can conjure up this idea about ourselves. Well, I'm not as excited as so-and-so. How they are in their relationship with Jesus, I'm not as excited as they are. It doesn't have a whole lot to do at times with excitement or emotion. It has more to do with the staying power of your commitment and that steady eddy, approach of walking with Jesus, of knowing the Lord through thick and thin, whether you feel like it or not. That's as much a part of your of having a vibrant first love devotion to Jesus as it is when you have this sense about you of passion for Jesus. And I really feel it. Now, I'm not against emotion. You know, I'm not against emotion at all. It's like, my wife and I, when we were first dated and first married, it's like we couldn't get enough of each other. Now she's glad when I go away to Bosnia. You think I'm kidding? It's like, you know, I'll do something that irritates her, which is very rare. Very rare. And it's like she straight arms me, and it's like, you know, oh, why'd you come home so early? But the reality is that the strength of our love is not found in that we have this heightened emotional feeling towards each other all the time. But it's that I'm committed to love you, and I will love you no matter what.
Right.
And I live like it. And I live like it. Come on, right or wrong?
Right.
And I live like it. Well, of course it's no different, and more so in my relationship with Jesus. And so I'm just trying to help us. You understand? So that, you know, we have this sense about us sometimes of well, you know, we compare ourselves that, you know, my feeling for Jesus and all these things. And it's like, well, no, something more goes into it. But at the same time, take to heart these things that I've said in regards to renewing your love, your first love. You know, you've all heard that song, right? You've got that first love and feeling. Who sang that? You've got that love. The Righteous Brothers, right. But first love and feeling, come on now. And so these things will help you to keep your first love and feeling strong and vibrant. That, amen. What do you think? You know, and I say these things because, you know, I say them because I say them. So I'm going to ask you as we pray to search your heart to see if there's a felt difference, a distance in your life, and see how the Lord will want you to take care of it even this morning. And signing on once again to putting first things first. And to take seriously these words before us. That what a nightmare to wake up one day and to have this sense that you're so far away that you fear you can never catch up. What an awful nightmare to wake up and feel that sort of thing. Let's pray. So, Father, as we're here in your presence, we take these moments to consider these words before you. You know my heart. Even as this word says, nothing gets by you, you know. And you know my heart. You know where I live. And Lord, I'm asking that you would come afresh into my life. I give my heart to you this morning that I would have nothing less than a wholehearted devotion. in all of my life, in the work that I do, in the relationships that I keep, in all of my interests and desires, in all of my hobbies, in the way in which I use my time and money, Jesus, that you would be first in all of those things. So help us, Jesus, help me to keep first things first. I pray your help to each of us. Amen. God bless you.